Hey, how's it going? It's 5 o'clock, which means you are listening to the Kim Jong-il Disco Dance Hour on WMTU 91.9 FM Houghton. Today is going to be really awesome. In a couple minutes here, I'm going to be interviewing Avin Pitch. But before that, I'm going to play what I think is their newest song, Desperado, off of the Twin Cities Electropunk CD number 4. Check that out right here while I give him a call. Just talk to you in a few minutes. Peace. We have Todd of Avin Pitch on the line right now. Let's see if we can get him on the air. Nope.
Are you there?
Yep.
All right, it's working. That's awesome. So, how's the weather in Minneapolis going right now?
You know, it's finally a decent day. It's 70 degrees and sunny, so we've earned it after our long winter.
It's warmer there than it is here.
That's a change. What is it over there?
It's 57.
Well, soon it will be summer and everyone will be happy.
Yeah. All right, so we just heard Desperado is your newest release song, yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So that's definitely an interesting song. You've got, it's heavily disco punk, electro punk, but it's definitely got the Western tone to it. Where the hell did that idea come from?
You know, it kind of came from the end of Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. You know that little Telecaster solo in that thing? I don't know if you're familiar with it. But, like, there's, like, the single coil Telecaster sound, and that thing's just going off. And also some Dick Dale I was listening to, and it'd be kind of like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to put, like, a Dick Dale-type feel with, like, an electro song. You know, I think the only other time I've heard it is, what, Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus?
Yeah.
And I think that's Spaghetti Western. And originally we were going for that, but couldn't figure out how to make it sound Spaghetti Western.
Fair enough. It sounds awesome, and the music video is ridiculous.
Total cheese. It's like the... It would be really cool with, like, a huge budget, but instead we had the budget of about $100, and that's what you end up with.
Fair enough.
But, you know, that's kind of the charm of it, too, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's the inspiration for Desperado, but where does your inspiration in general come from?
Mostly it's just, you know, you work on music and you're thinking, well, lots of it, you kind of hear music that you don't really like, and you're like, I think I could do something better than that. And, you know, whether or not you can is debatable, but you kind of give it a shot, and you make something that you actually enjoy listening to, and then, you know, you come up with what you come up with, and then sometimes when it's done, you're like, that's pretty cool, and then sometimes, like, it's not so good, but it's all right. And, I mean, just general, we're all music lovers. I mean, you know, it's music 24/7 with all of us. And, you know, you don't need to be inspired to make music if you love it already.
Definitely. All right, so you guys have one of the more unique sounds in America. You brought over what is kind of, it's almost European-sounding disco punk, and it's really just an entirely unique song, and sound, not song, meh. Anyways, fail at English, but...
No problem. It sounds sweet, the song.
Yeah, it's a really unique sound, and like you said, you just kind of love the music and go ahead and make whatever you feel like, but were there any, like, bands that influenced you at all?
Particularly, I guess, you know, one big one for me was a band named Prick. They were on Nothing Records back in the mid-90s, and he was kind of influenced by Bowie and a little more glam, a little more style than your average industrial rock band. Something like that I've always been into, you know, bands like, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, all the 90s alternative rock, My Bloody Valentine, Nine Inch Nails, those type of things are always, you know, it's your reference points of what you grow up with. And, of course, The Cure, I got to mention them, and New Order, and, you know, and more recently, we like stuff like LCD or The Faint, or, you know, it's kind of goes on, but it seems like the stuff, you know, you listen to right in high school, the stuff that sort of leaves the biggest lasting impression on you. That makes sense.
It's really cool. I mean,
you know,
it's
you kind of just keep accumulating stuff. Like, man, recently I've been listening to just Leonard Cohen and Pete Townsend, and you know that's like light years away from what we make. But you know, you still appreciate the song and the sounds and the voice and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think it's really cool that you're actually talking about how you were influenced by music in high school, and it's really sticking with you and everything. Because a lot of bands will say, oh, we were influenced by this, 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 and maybe list specific events, but they don't actually go back to say, oh, my high school music really influenced me. And a lot of bands actually look down on the whole teenage listening music population.
You know, now if we went back to, you know, my fourth or fifth grade music, and I was saying Motley Crue and Faster Pussycat, Boys and Flesh and Blood, maybe I'd be a little more embarrassed of it. But considering now the 90s music making its comeback, but you know, at the same time, I don't know if you can really actually, you know, why be embarrassed of what you listen to. It's kind of like, well, you know, it's cool. If there's a song you enjoy it, why not like it?
All right. We finally got a DJ Universe in here, so if you want to say hi.
Hey, dude, what's up?
Nothing much. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just got back from selling some books. Loaded in money right now.
Good deal. You got your, what, 90% markdown on what you paid on the cover?
Actually, it was only 50%.
Oh, well, then you're doing well.
Yes, yes.
Basically, you can afford the burrito tonight.
Yeah. How's your day going, man?
So far, so good.
Cool.
Okay, so anyways, one of the things that we tend to ask bands that's entirely out of left field and they have no idea how to respond is, where do you get your motivation to keep playing music from?
You know, that's actually a great question. Because we always talk about it with the band because, you know, we've played over like 120-some shows at this point. And, you know, when you're, whatever, when you're first starting, like, every show, you think, like, my God, this is awesome. I'm a rock star, you know? And all your buddies come out to the shows, and it's inspiring, and you're like, this is awesome. This is going to be amazing. And then, you know, later, you start to hit, you know, show number 50 or 60, and all of a sudden, your friends are like, you know, I can't make it out tonight. You're playing to a new audience, and, you know, you're trying to win them over. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you get in the car, and you've driven 4 or 5 or 6 hours to go play to, well, this last week we went to Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, it was a 5-hour drive, and we love it, but, you know, we played to basically, you know, 30 people tops, which is pretty cool. But, you know, it's kind of like, wait a second, we didn't even make gas money at this rate.
Yeah.
Motivation, you just kind of, it feels like, yeah, well, every band starts out thinking they're going to be really awesome, and then after their friends dry up and they don't come out to shows, they don't really, you know, they lose the motivation. That's what happens. That's why the life cycle of every band is about, what, 2 years, 3 years tops?
Yeah,
and it just seems kind of like, you know, if you really love what you're doing, you realize I'm not doing it for anybody else, and we could be completely panned by every single critic or every single person, you know, and you know what, we're still going to go out and play the show. We're still going to release albums, and I don't really see a reason to stop. I think it'd be kind of cool to, like, you know, I kind of model it after, like, the Flaming Lips or somebody like that who's been playing, what did they do, like, 12 or 13 years before they had their first hit even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what, you don't hear something like that, and they started in 83 playing every dive bar in the world, and they just keep going and going, and, you know, you do get older and you lose kind of the hunger sometimes, but then it's kind of important to reestablish why you're doing it and why you're a band. Yeah. And we kind of figure, like, you know, we're a good band now, but if we stuck with it, you know, we could be really great at some point, you know, and maybe, you know, you might end up in a book like Our Band Could Be Your Life or something, and they'll be like, you know, 30 years from now, people will be like, Aven Pitch, they were a damn good band, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the motivation in and of itself, besides the fact that we love doing it. I mean, you can't discredit that. And, you know, if people do dry up and they lose the interest, you can't hold it against them. You can't be pissed off at them. I'm like, no. Oh, I hate them because they weren't sincere in their passion for their band. They should still be doing it. Yeah. But, you know, there's lots of stuff to explore, and it feels like we're, I listened to our first record, and I'm like, oh, we could get so much better. And then I listened to Butterfly, and, you know, you kind of realize when you hear what you're not doing right on the previous record, it's time to make another record. It means you've grown.
Yeah.
Like, I've got some friends and bands, and they're like, you know, the last 3 albums, our music's not getting any better. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but if you can't distinguish why you're doing something, you know what, you should just put out that one record and promote the hell out of it until somebody notices. And if you don't feel like it's changed, then, you know, maybe you need to reevaluate why you're doing music and what you're looking to do with music.
Yeah. I definitely think that's true, and that's got to be one of the best answers to that question we've ever gotten.
Yeah. No.
That's like half of our practice space when we're debating. You know, and another good thing our guitar player said, it's like, we have a show tomorrow night on a Thursday, you know, downtown Minneapolis. And, you know, we've played enough shows to know, like, a Thursday in downtown Minneapolis, okay, it's not going to be a packed house, you know. And our guitar player said, well, if we don't play it, for sure people won't find us, you know. And if we do, there's always that chance.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's really cool.
It was like his moment of, like, Zen wisdom or something. That, like, all of us, like, had to seriously pick ourselves up the floor. It was, like, the smartest thing he ever said, you know. We're pissing and moaning about, like, we got to bring our equipment down. And we're going to do this and this. Like, well, if we don't play it, no one will find us. It's like I said, his Zen proverb. It inspired us.
So, since we're on the topic of live shows, I don't know, being an e-punk band, I kind of have to ask this. When you walk onto a stage, like before a show where you're going to be playing, what goes through your mind? Like, how? Where do you get your energy? I mean, if you, what's the guy's name from MSI? His answer, you know, don't
Jimmy
jump.
Aaron.
Yeah. I look at the stage and go, oh, I can jump on that, yep. Don't jump on that.
I think about that stuff. You think about where you can go. And then, you know, a lot of the things is, as I mean, we're obviously an unknown band. We come to some towns and people know us. And then that's obviously a lot to makes it a lot easier sometimes, you know, when you got a couple people already into you. But then the other thought is, okay, how do you win these people over? Because if you're going to throw 45 minutes of music they've never heard at them, you know, you don't just want to be like the standard rock band standing there playing your guitar. Because people have seen it, and there's way more talented musicians than us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, okay, well, we're pretty good at bringing the energy, and then, you know, we just freak out and try and hold the audience's attention. Because, I mean, that's the huge thing with new bands. I think that's one thing I noticed wherever you're playing, new bands, it's kind of like, you know, you're there, and people pay attention to you for about one song, two songs.
Yeah.
And then people's attention starts to wane, and they'll either wander around the bar or go get something to drink or go get, you know, smoke a cigarette or whatever. And, you know, and you can hold, you know, basically it's like if people aren't interested in what we're doing and, like, if they don't think, like, we're geniuses and amazing, that means we're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So many people have that attitude of, like, oh, the audience doesn't appreciate good art. They don't understand electropunk. It's like, you know. Who cares if they do or they don't? It doesn't matter. You're there to entertain the audience, and you know they paid their bar fee.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, entertain them. Give them a show. And, you know, worst case, I've had lots of people say, you know, I don't know if I'm totally into your music, but, man, you guys are such great showmen, and I love what you do, and just your enthusiasm about it pumps me up. And you're like, yeah, that's good. You know, and then hopefully they'll buy a CD, and they'll actually go home and listen to the music, too. Because, you know, you don't want to become, and that's the problem with, like, electronic bands can become a shtick too.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like, okay, it's funny for one song or it's entertaining, but you gotta have more stuff to use then.
Yeah.
You know, well, you can't run around to a laptop and call yourself a show and think that in and of itself will be enough.
Yeah. Anyways, you said that going places, you're gonna with only, you go places with only a few people there who listen to you or whatever. You should come here. Yeah. I plug you guys so much here.
You know, let me know who to talk to at your school, and we'll see what we can figure out.
Actually, you should probably get in contact with the higher-ups at WMTU, the radio station. They do.
We can probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be more than happy to do a four-day tour and hit Michigan.
Sweet.
We did go. Gosh, we played Traverse City a couple times, and that place always goes really well. We've made it out to Lansing for some house shows.
Yeah, very cool.
That's cool.
And, I mean, Michigan's a great, like, it's just a great for it seems like our music goes over really well, and it seems there's just so many talents in Michigan. You can just kind of, we could do like a whole month-long tour of Michigan.
Hey, so long as you stop in Detroit, everyone will know who you are, right?
Detroit or
yeah,
Hayden?
We did play Detroit, or not one of those suburbs of Detroit a couple years ago. But yeah, put me in contact with whoever to talk to, and we're definitely for it. We're always looking for places.
That's cool.
So I've got one. This kind of goes back to live, and it's this question could go horribly, horribly wrong. What's the biggest surprise that you've ever encountered, like the most shocking thing that's ever happened while you've been on stage?
Oh, God.
Like something an audience member has done, like you jump on something and it suddenly isn't there anymore?
Yeah, there's been a couple of chairs I've stepped on that have broke. Like, you know, and I always feel guilty, and I always try to make amends with the owner. I'm like, you know, you want $20 to fix that or something. You know, just because you feel like, oh, what a jerk, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily, they're smart enough to realize, oh, no, we want you back.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. And then, you know, equipment-wise, like, there's always something like, our drummer's broken his snare drum head or bass drum head, but that can happen to any band.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, crap. And then, you know, you're like, instead of a bass drum, you're hitting floor tom for half the show. You know, but then you're kind of like, well, I guess we got to make it work, otherwise.
That's what makes it a live version of the song.
Yeah, exactly. You hear the recording. And, you know, there's always broken strings. There's always an amp problem. There's always something. There's, you know, sometimes the audience surprise me if they're really into it, you know, and like they'll jump up on stage and have fun with us, you know, because basically my persona live is just complete idiot.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you look like Will Ferrell, and I'm sure it's something to do with the fact that I'm a 200-pound guy jumping around and like, a smooth-talking rock star that, you know, looks good, but a 200-pound hairy man and all of a sudden gets people's attention. But nothing, you know, you have good shows, bad shows. Nothing's really, half of it's live, and you're kind of like, oh, well, I guess that's done. Got to keep on moving.
Yeah.
Well, really quickly, it's like 5:20, and we're supposed to do a liner here, technically, so I was wondering if you wanted to do that.
What?
A liner. It's basically, you would just say, hey, I'm Todd from Aven Pitch, and you're listening to WMTU 91.9 FM Houghton, and I'll repeat that slower if you actually are interested in doing it, and we'd record it, and we could use it for, other times.
And feel free, like, during that, if instead of just doing the, I'm Todd from Aven Pitch, if you want to throw in, like,
Do something insane.
Yeah, something wild. I mean, just to make it interesting, our liner catalog right now is looking kind of shabby, so.
WMTU, you said?
Yep. WMTU.
91.9.
WMTU, what was that?
91.9.
I should have done more research. I was looking at your guys' website before I grabbed the phone, but of course, I don't have a pen with me. WMTU 91.9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this should I go for it?
Yep.
Yeah, go
just
ahead.
Whenever.
Hey, this is Todd from Aven Pitch, and you're listening to WMTU 91.9.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that won't work.
There wasn't much excitement in that one, but I don't know.
It's okay.
Sorry. What? I'm not much with the stage banter or taglines or things like that. It sounds kind of like, okay.
We'll edit in some, like, explosions happening in the background.
Fireworks, explosions, make it sound exciting.
Applause.
Right? Yeah.
All right.
All right. The e-punk genre has really been taking off kind of exponentially, especially in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, where you think the genre is going in terms of popularity and music changes and...
Just in general?
Just in general, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of... It's weird, because, I mean, I can tell you what I think about, like, the Twin Cities stuff, because, you know, I organize those Twin Cities electropunk comps.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, with that stuff, I think so much of it's up to the band to get off their duff and do something. I think that's... Anytime, you know, people always, it's easy to hop on the scene bandwagon or whatever and say, oh yeah, we're electropunk, listen to us. Yeah. And, you know, and that's cool, that's awesome. It's awesome that people are doing stuff. I really do admire the fact that people are now, you know, they're getting their computers and their cheap recording devices and yeah, making something happen, which is what it should be. It shouldn't be like, you know, I'm the artist, you are the audience.
You know?
Anybody can do that. But then at the same time, there's like that, at least locally, you know, I know they think just, okay, we're electropunk and we're entitled for everybody else from the scene to come check out our show because, just because we're electropunk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, and I think that's what happens with any scene. It's kind of, people assume that, oh, if I hop onto this, everybody will automatically respect me and dig what I'm doing and I don't, you know, kind of seems like you're trying to get the shortcut to where you want to be.
Mm, yeah. Ultron's kind of hit that, though.
You know, like, I mean, whereas, like, you know, I can say it now, and now that I'm a grumpy old codger and we've played something like 120-some shows, it's kind of like, no, it's a long road, you know?
Yeah.
You just get out there and you do it, and if they don't care, you keep doing it. If they don't care, you keep doing it. And, I mean, you know, you can be, like, on tour. We'll have, like, a night that's awesome in Cleveland, and then the next night we'll play in, like, wherever, Tennessee or something, and it's like... Nobody there. Nobody cares. And you're like, wait a second, I was a rock star 24 hours ago, and now I'm embarrassed to ask the bartender for enough to cover gas money. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that goes back to the genre. And, I, you know, it's still forming, and I guess if you're thinking, like, more of a national level, you know, the way, like, everything from LCD Sound System to, I know all those DFA bands are getting picked now, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're referring to them or, like, more mindless self-indulgence.
Well,
or,
really, I mean, if you look at it, like, Screw Mechanical Brain is getting huge. Some Pumps are getting way up there. Retardobot is topping charts. So is Mindless Self-Indulgence.
They've been topping for a while, though.
Yeah, they've been topping for a while. They're also...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, like, lots of hungry kids that are out there looking for something new to listen to, and something to call their own, you know? And I think, SMB, you mentioned them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're, like, a local band. And those guys have definitely, I mean... you know, we're not a pimple on those guys considering how long they've been working it, you know. They've been there for like 10 years just busting down doors, doing their thing, and it's cool to see them getting the recognition they deserve.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, but that goes back to what I was saying about so much of it, the band's working it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's no quick fix. Like, those TC Electropunk things are a good way to promote locally, and it's a good way to get music out there because it's something that, you know, I don't know if your listeners are familiar, but tcelectropunk.com, you can download the last 4 years of electropunk music in Minneapolis.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. I plug it all the time on my show.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely keep telling people to go there.
As a genre, it's kind of interesting. I mean, now you listen to whatever the radio hits are of now, and you realize it was what was cutting edge, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago. Like, you know, like you hear the, like, Britney Spears singles, and you're like, wait a second, didn't The Faint do that a little while ago? It's kind of weird that, you know, it's still on the periphery. And, like, as a genre, it influences mainstream.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will continue to do that. And as for breaking through, I mean, I think you almost need, like, one of those Trent Reznor-type figures that takes it mainstream.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know, you know, the Al Jorgens and Trent Reznors, and I don't know if the scene's got something like that quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it will, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll just kind of always be this. And I think, like, even the fact that it's what called synth-punk, dance pop, or dance punk, electropunk, you know, it's everything. There's so many titles, and people that pay attention are like, oh, no, this band's this, and this band's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So.
Whereas, like, grunge or something was, like, one title. It's like, grunge music.
Yeah.
You knew what you were listening to, whether it be Pearl Jam or Soundgarden.
Yeah.
It was, like, huge, all-encompassing.
Well, there's, like, four genres of electropunk now? Like, four main ones? Like, disco punk, thrash dance, dance metal.
And I mean, it's cool, but it's kind of like, okay, you know, like, it's great that they have those things, but it's kind of, you wonder if bands are just trying to get more recognition, like, you know, like, you can't play in the majors, or, like, you know, you can't handle, like, the big thing, so, oh, we'll break off into a subgroup and be, like, this small thing, and we'll be, like, number one on our MySpace charts.
Or, you know,
dance, thrash, disco, metal, punk. And that's cool. It's like, yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, that gets you more listeners than just saying pop.
Well, yeah. Well, anyways, we got to wrap it up here.
So.
But one last thing I wanted to ask you is, accusations say that if you continue on your current upward trend of awesomeness, the world may implode. Comments?
Excuse me?
Accusations say that if you continue on your current trend of awesomeness, the world may implode. Comments?
You know, I don't know if it'll implode, but we'll at least start the revolution or something like that, right?
Okay.
All right. So.
All right. So, anyways, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. We'll let you go now, and we'll get right into to the music. We'll play Butterfly Radio, and we'll.
You got the disc I sent your way?
Huh?
You got the disc I sent your way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Queued up and everything. All right. So.
Anyway, thank you very much for having us on, and let me know about the local places to play.
Definitely. Thank you for being on. Talk to you later, man. Peace.
No problem. Bye.
Well, that was a fun interview.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I came in halfway through and it was fun.
Yep. All right. So, anyways.
Back to the music.
This is Butterfly Radio by the band that I just interviewed, Avenpitch. Go, go, go.